Welcome to Talk Dust, a podcast for the mathematically curious, brought to you by the team from Chalk Dust Magazine.
Hello, and welcome to Talk Dust. I'm TD, and I'm here with Alex today.
Hello, it's very nice to be here.
So, Alex, what have you been up to?
So, I've been involved with this Royal Institution Masterclass, and that involves giving a lecture to pupils who have been chosen as being especially interested in maths, who could be stretched by some non-curricular maths. And so, yeah, so I deliver some lectures. So I've done one at Imperial and I've done one at King's College Maths School. But it's mostly about them doing fun exercises and learning about how maths can be applied in the real world so that they're hopefully very enthused about it. And they hopefully want to go on to study maths or a STEM subject at university because, as you know, we have a crippling shortage of STEM graduates.
So what are your lectures about?
My talks are about problems that are set on grids and chessboards, and there's introductions to some other areas of maths, most notably graph theory, which features a lot, and later on in the podcast I will talk with you about that. TD, what have you been up to recently?
I have recently been a helper at this thing called Maths Fest, which is an enrichment day for year 11, 12 and 13s. And so they get a lot of popular maths speakers in to do talks.
Like who?
So there was Hannah Fry, David Aitchison, there was Vicky Neal, Rob Eastaway. So David Aitchison played the guitar and played around with empty pizza boxes. So he's got like four pizza boxes and he wants to move like the top one so that it's completely not on top of the bottom one. So I think he moves the second to last box from top to bottom of four. He moves it halfway so that only half of it is covering the very bottom one. And then he moves the other one a bit more, and then the top one a bit more, so that there's a point where it stops and it's completely not on top of the other one. He didn't do the 31 boxes live, but I think he did show us a video.
Did he show you the video of him on Tomorrow's World?
No.
Google it.
How much money would you need to be able to commute? $1 billion.
This is Talk Dust Live with TD Dang, reporting not live from the Kathleen Lonsdale building. The team are hard at work putting the finishing touches on the latest issue of a magazine for the mathematically curious today. We'll be speaking to some of them now. Hi, Tita. What did you do today?
Today, mostly I was posting stuff on social media, keeping all our readers updated on what we've been doing on Chalky Saturday.
So what did you enjoy the most?
I posted a picture of our old issue with the caption, "Thank you, next."
Brilliant. What would you say is your favourite regular?
My favourite regular that's coming back this issue is the horoscope. I mean, I'm a big fan of funny horoscopes and this one is great.
Would you say it's your favourite of all time?
Yeah, I would say so.
What makes it so good?
It's the scorpions and also all the jokes and just, you know, it's fun to read with other people, seeing what they have and what's in your fortune and stuff.
Why is Chalky Saturday so chalky?
It's chalky because that's like asking why water is wet. It just is.
Thanks, Atita.
Thank you.
Hi. Okay, so Nikki, what did you do today?
I created a flowchart. Basically, I played around with PowerPoint for about 4 to 5 hours. And I overlooked a lot of picture making because I can't draw for
I don't know if a four can go into the podcast.
I cannot draw at all. I am bad at drawing. And then we had to put the whole magazine together, meaning that I was on my knees putting papers on the floor, arranging them in the correct order, and writing numbers. You have to remember your fence post versus fences problem very well.
Okay, what would you say is your favourite regular?
My favourite regular is the horoscope. Definitely the horoscope. And I know the people feel the same way.
What makes the horoscope so special?
It's just fun. I think a lot of people like reading their horoscopes. And it's even more fun when your horoscope is mathematical.
What's so chalky about Chalky Saturday?
Well, to be honest, I do wish there was more chalk on Chalky Saturday. Instead, we have to use whiteboards. It's ridiculous.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, Tiddy. This is an excellent setup you've got here. I'm very impressed with the professionalism of the Talk Dust podcast.
So, Adam, what did you do today?
Right, well, I suppose my jobs on Chalky Saturday are normally in two parts. The first part is graphics, so I have to do the cover. I mean, that's relatively involved as well. Firstly, we have to come up with an idea for what the cover's going to be. Now, we've made this decision a month, maybe a couple of months in advance, and we've already chosen the graphic that we're going to feature. We've got in contact with the artist, which this time is Edmund Harris, who I think we decided on almost a year ago, actually. This Harris spiral we thought would make a nice cover picture, and as it happens, he was at Imperial, where I work these days, just before Christmas, so I was able to chat to him and tell him, look, this is what we want to do. Would you be happy to have your famous spiral on the cover? And he was more than happy to say yes, so that was really good. And so once we've decided this is the sort of the picture that we're going to feature, then we have to turn it into a cover. Now, sometimes that's pretty easy. Early on in Chalk Dust, we had normally quite large pieces of artwork to deal with. So like issues 1 and 2 were just large pieces of artwork, and we really just put the artwork on the cover, wrote Chalk Dust over the top of it, and that was all you had to do. More recently, we have been featuring smaller pieces of artwork, and then you have to make a cover out of that. So in issue 4, I think, was the first time that we took a small piece of artwork and then turned it into a cover. We were using some artwork by John Crabtree, which I think was computer generated. It was called Central Quadratic, and it's sort of like an X shape of these spheres turning into cubes. And we had to figure out how we were going to put the names of the articles that we want to feature on them. That's always a bit of a challenge. And then, see, more recently we've been doing things like that, and today is no exception. So the spiral we've turned into like a little tree. The whole thing looks a little bit like the Windows XP background. It's always good to have some inspiration. But then you have to figure out where are you going to put the titles. And then, of course, you have to place the scorpion, probably the most important part of the cover design, which this time has gone 3D. So that's the cover. We had to do other bits of graphics as well. Sometimes articles come with graphics, and that's great. And sometimes they need some artwork. And so, in fact, I mean, a lot of people today have been doing graphics, and I've been super impressed. Carmen's done an amazing job today with creating this scroll, this beautiful depiction of this algebraic algorithm. And most importantly, the job for most of the evening, and it's almost 9 o'clock in the evening now, is proofreading. So this is when we have the articles, they're typeset, all the pictures are in, they're mostly all in the right place on the right pages. We've already got the orders of the pages, it's just now going through and making sure, are the spellings right? Are there any like IZEs that have popped in that we need to change to S's? Do people know the difference between practice with an S and practice with a C? Have they done M dashes or N dashes? Are there single quotes or double quotes? Have they capitalized things properly? So this is the bane of my life on the last part of Chalky Saturday, is going through and making sure that everyone follows the style guide, which is pretty much based on the Guardian style guide. It's nice that the Guardian have a publicly accessible style guide. So it's important when you're working with lots of people that we're writing in the same way, so that the magazine has a nice consistent feel to it. And because the Guardian one happens to be online, that's pretty good. So we use that.
What would you say is your favourite regular?
Well, let's see. So digitally, I write myself normally. So like, that's nice and it's fun to write, but I never really get to enjoy it as a reader. Well, top 10 this time is the top 10 Chalk Dust regulars. Now, you will notice, well, okay, I won't tell you which one has got the number one slot, but in the vote that was set up for this, I think there's a little bit of a biased sample of voters.
Why do you think Chalky Saturday is so chalky?
It is because in the great tradition of projects, we leave all the important stuff until the end. Everything seems like, oh, well, you know, it's almost done. So we'll just have a nice, easy day. On a Saturday, we'll have a nice picnic lunch. We will have pizza for dinner. And, you know, we'll just have fun. And instead, it's just chalkiness.
How are you, Sean? What have you been doing today?
I have been here for 13 hours now.
And here's the fact of the podcast. Scorpions have an exoskeleton.
So, Alex, I see you brought a book today. What's it about?
Yes, so I brought a book, Across the Board, by John Watkins. It's a collection of interesting puzzles and mathematics, which I would say is very accessible since it doesn't assume an undergraduate degree or anything like that. So one of the things that they talk about is Hamiltonian graphs, which might not seem related to chess. Yeah, so one of the famous puzzles in chess is that of creating a knight's tour, where you have a chessboard, you have a knight somewhere on the board, and then the knight has to visit every square on the board exactly once. It's not allowed to repeat any, and then it has to get back to where it started. So this is actually an example of a more general problem, which is creating a Hamiltonian path through a graph. So a graph, you've got your vertices, and which represent some objects. You've got edges, which represent some relationship between them. For example, you could have countries in the world represented by vertices, and an edge represents that they have a land border, and that would create a graph. And the Hamiltonian path is one which starts at any vertex, keeps going to connected vertices, and visits all of them exactly once, and then returns to the starting point. So they're named after Hamilton because he popularized this puzzle, which was you take the graph of a dodecahedron, and then you have to find a Hamiltonian path on that. So this is a problem with lots of applications, but interestingly, the first recorded application of this is to the Knight's Tour problem. So this was studied in the 9th century by Indian and Arabic mathematicians. So it started out as this like recreational, oh, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, we took the knight out of the context of the game of chess and did this puzzle with it. But that actually inspired a lot of areas of mathematics. Creating a knight's tour is not just a case of trial and error. There are lots of insights that you can make. So, for example, if you were doing a knight's tour and from a square you are able to reach a corner of the chessboard, that must be your next move. If you don't visit it then, at some point you'll have to go to the corner and then you'll be trapped because you won't be able to leave it. One thing that has been studied is looking at doing knight's tours on boards of different sizes. There's lots of different knight's tours on the 8x8 chessboard, but you could imagine changing the size of the board and then trying to find if it was still possible to do a knight's tour.
What's the smallest board you can do a knight's tour on?
Schwenk's theorem gives us a complete classification of the boards on which it's possible to do a knight's tour. So I guess the smallest one is a 5x6 chessboard. The three conditions are, so if the number of rows and number of columns are both odd, then it's not possible because you have to alternate between white and black squares when you move a knight. And so if there's an odd number of squares on the board, it's not possible. And then there's just a few small cases. So if you have one column, two columns, or four columns, it's not possible. And then there's, if you have three columns and four rows, six rows or eight rows, it's not possible. Those are all the ones. And I guess the only really interesting one is when you have four rows. Okay, so to do it for four rows, the important thing is that I have to return to my starting position. If the knight doesn't have to return to his starting position, then you can do it on a chessboard with four rows and five or more columns. Here's one way of doing it. So you've got the normal white-black colouring of a chessboard, and what you can do is also define another colouring of it. So I'm going to colour the top and bottom row, so red, and the middle two rows blue. If you were doing a knight's tour on this board, so you have to go white, black, white, black, white, black, white, black, and so on for the whole thing and return. Mm-hmm. If you start on a white, you must finish on a white. Mm-hmm. But we'll see that you have to alternate between red and blue as well. So the first observation is that any red must be followed by a blue. So if we're on the top or bottom row, the next move must be to one of the two middle rows. It's not possible to move from... We can't stay on the same row because that's not a legal knight's move, and we can't jump from the top row to the bottom or from the bottom to the top. So every red has to be followed by a blue, but because there's an equal number of them, every blue must be followed by a red. Otherwise, we're going to have more blues than red. And so if you, let's say you start on a white, you have to go white, black, white, black, white, black. If you start on, say, a red, you have to go red, blue, red, blue, red, blue. But then all the whites and reds correspond to each other, and all the blues and blacks correspond to each other. And so it's not possible to construct at all. As long as you've got four rows, it's not possible. Yeah. So some of the other problems that I do involve thinking about how to swap. You're given a board, and then you'll have some white knights and some black knights, and you want to swap the positions of them. But it's often very difficult to think about all the future moves that they can make. But if you think about the squares of the chessboard as being nodes and edges representing squares that are connected by a knight's move, you can often turn them into planar graphs. So obviously it's like however we draw it doesn't matter. All that matters is which nodes are connected to which other nodes. Let's say we had a 3x3 chessboard. So the middle square would not be connected to any of the other squares, so that one would be an unconnected, isolated node. And all the other ones would be, every vertex would have degree 2, so every vertex would be connected to two other ones. So if you imagine 3x3, so let's say the top left square is number 1, then the one to the right of that is 2, 3, 4, and so on to 9. Yeah. So 5 is unconnected. Mm-hmm. 1 is connected to 6, which is connected to 7. But if you imagine pulling 6 from its position and moving it so it's sort of 1 and then go slightly left, you have 6, and then slightly down right, you have 7. Then pulling 2 down, so 7 is connected to 2 is connected to 9. If you pull 2 down, so it's between 7 and 9, and then if you pull 4 across, so it's between 3 and 9, and pulling 8 up, so it's between 1 and 3, then you can see that this is actually a square or a circle. If you wanted to swap two knights' positions on this board, it would be equivalent to just moving them around a circle.
For the people last month who signed up for the abstract concept of a cube, boy do we have an offer for you today. If you liked cubes, wait until you get your hands on hypercubes. The abstract concept of a hypercube is a limited time offer. What does the abstract concept of a hypercube look like? I don't know, man, I'm just a physicist.
We're going to play a game. Me and TD are both going to describe some maths-related terms, and we're not allowed to use any of the words or derivations of the words that we're describing. We will each have 1 minute, and then our combined score will be put on a leaderboard. Okay, I'm going to go first. Group of things.
A group. Set.
Stats thing, mean goes to the normal distribution. Oh, and yeah, sorry. Not like the middle of something is the
mean. Mean.
No, like the middle of London.
Median.
Is the,
no, centre.
Yeah.
Centre. Limit theorem.
Yeah.
Central limit theorem.
This the name of this podcast.
Talk Dust.
Phi.
Phi. Potential function.
Oh no! It's like 1 + √5. All over 2. Not silver.
Pi.
More valuable than silver.
Gold.
Yeah, and then one number over another.
Golden ratio.
Yeah. Oblong.
Rectangle?
Yeah. I scored 5. So now it is TD's turn to describe to me.
Opposite of integration.
Differentiation.
X squared.
Polynomial. Quadratic.
Shape X squared.
Parabola.
A stretched rhombus. In one direction. A thing you fly.
Kite.
Capital I. Linear algebra, capital I.
Oh, identity matrix.
A number. 2 to 3.
8.
A field of study to do with connecting dots and lines.
Graph theory.
Opposite of differentiation.
Integration.
A bent square.
Parallelogram.
Bent. Also got 7.
Yes, we got 12 in total.
You have been listening to Talk Dust, a podcast for the mathematically curious. The presenters were T.D. Dang and Alex Bolton, with special guests Asita, Nikki, Adam and Sean. Music and editing by Matthew Scroggs. Announcements by Tom Rivlin. Find out more about Chalk Dust, a magazine for the mathematically curious, and Talk Dust, a podcast for the mathematically curious, at chalkdustmagazine.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Mathstadon at ChalkDustMag. See you next month.
I don't know what I'm talking about.